You are. And online at KBUR.com.
I think the show's been on forever. Law and Order, it's been on, I think, 22 years or something like that. But it is Law and Order Day today, Peace Officer Day. We're joined by Wayne Thompson. He's a day shift lieutenant with the Burlington Police Department. And he is joining us. Also, Jason Marlowe, going in his 26th year with the Iowa State Patrol. Kevin Glendening has got, I think it's 22 years for Kevin Glendening. So we've got some... We got a number of years that have been added up there. Kevin, good morning to you. Jason, good morning to you. Wayne, good morning to you.
Good morning, Steve. Good
morning.
Wayne, how long have you been with the Burlington Police Department, by the way?
Since September of 1998.
Okay, so you've had, So there's a lot of law enforcement experience over there. We're moving into the end of the spring season. Yes, actually it's girls state basketball tournament. The old adage used to be, well, the last blizzard of the year would always happen on the girls' state basketball tournament. I don't know if anybody heard that one before or not, but, the weather, we are in the most, March right now, the time we're in right now is the most volatile weather month of all. It is when anything can happen. We can have blizzards, we can have flash floods, we can have tornadoes. Any of those things has happened and can happen. I was talking about it today, this morning, that what causes the most deaths each year of all of those various things, hurricanes, tornadoes, blizzards, any of those things? Actually, it's flash floods. People that try to drive over flooded highways. And I don't know how many. Obviously, ice. It's driving over a flooded highway is more dangerous than driving on an icy road, isn't it, Jason?
Well, I think it certainly could be, and I'm hoping that all of those things you just predicted aren't going to happen. To be honest with you, Steve,
I'm not predicting anything.
I prefer some 75 and sunshine out of your forecast. But again, yeah, as you mentioned, we're in the spring season, or at least late winter, and we could see a mix of different weather play a factor in driving. We encourage people to, pay attention, still use that 511 website or phone number to get up-to-date road conditions. Right now we're sitting pretty good, but that can change at any time.
And it's been an up-and-down kind of year. It's actually been a reasonably mild winter overall. Frankly, we've had any time it's been cold, it didn't last very long, and we've had reasonably mild temperature. December was well above normal in temperature, but, the weather's something you can talk about it all you want, but you can't do anything about it. But I guess it's something that we just live with. As we look at the spring season, one of the things, I think we're finally, and I'm not making this, I truly believe that this is the end of the pandemic. I don't know what you guys feel about that, but it feels like the end. Yes, okay, a reason I was not here a month ago was because I had COVID. But it was the mildest. I would never have stayed home a day, not a day, with the symptoms that I had. They were so mild. In fact, the biggest problem I had was boredom, and I think that's really what we're seeing in this. But that's not a bad thing. If boredom's your biggest problem, yeah, I know that's a good thing. As the pandemic ends, one thing I did see is that we've had last year where there was more people killed in Iowa highways last year than I think we've seen in the last 35 years. Jason, what's any idea why?
Yeah, I think there's several factors, and if the memory serves me correct, 354 for traffic fatalities last year. We've campaigned with the sheriff's office and police departments to get that number to below 300. There's still some reasons that car crashes are occurring, whether it's distracted driving. I think the biggest thing is the speed of vehicles and some of those excessive speeds that pop up from time to time. I talk a lot about the concept of being a defensive driver, and I think that's a skill set that everyone, maybe myself included, can improve upon. We've kind of gone away from that. We kind of get in our own little comfort zone. We think about ourselves, our own reasons for travel, and we don't always pay attention to everything else on the roadways. And defensive driving is a very important concept, and knowing what to do. If someone around you makes a mistake, they run a red light, they pull out from a stop sign at the wrong time, things of that nature, and a lot of those crashes are occurring in and around intersections.
Oh, well, I think the other thing is let's face it. I think you were telling me last time that we talked, Jason, about you were at an intersection. It was a railroad overpass, and you were getting ready to go, and your car stopped you. And we get, let's face it, the automobiles, the newer automobiles out there right now, they've got a lot of self-driving assistance. They also have, they also ride. You can drive a lot faster and hardly know that you're driving fast in these cars. I think maybe that's, and you get a, you can kind of lull yourself into, I remember driving up to Decorah, and I'm already up to 80 miles an hour, and it's like, it didn't feel like I was driving 80 miles an hour, but, I know that one of the other things that we've had with, as I said, the more the car does for you, the more that the easier and the better the ride is, the faster you're going to go. Is that too simple, Jason? Or how about that, Kevin?
Yeah, I think people just get a little bit more relaxed in there. And what Jason was saying, that the focus isn't always on driving. I think we need to get back to focusing on the road. It's just such a dangerous situation that can turn really quickly. We get relaxed, we get complacent, and then you're just not prepared for what might happen.
Now, Wayne, you get the day shift lieutenant. I bet you've spent a lot of time in a patrol car. Is that correct?
I have.
One of the things, you got a lot of distractions in that patrol car too, don't you?
We do, and we talk to the officers about that. You know, with the computers in there and just with their personal electronic devices and everything, they're in the car, and their number one priority is driving and driving safely so they can get to the call or they don't cause an accident or anything like that.
Okay. So it is, and I know that there's a skill set that's involved in being able to handle all, you know, what's in the car now is not what was in the car 26 years ago, is it?
No, it's way different. And obviously technology has played a role in, no matter what your career path has been. I'm sure the studio here is much different than your old one on Roosevelt back in the day. So, and whether you're a farmer or in the trucking business, and law enforcement is not immune to that. We also, you know, spend a lot of time in talking to our troopers about limiting those distractions. We have a program that's actually on our computer now called ViewLock that limits the ability for them to use that computer when you reach, you know, certain miles per hour on the roadway. That has helped and assisted. But again, no matter what you're doing, it comes down to that individual choice of limiting as many distractions as you can when you drive.
All right, as we've talked in the past, distracted driving, texting while driving is considered, at least the last study I read, said that texting while driving, which we know happens, texting while driving is as dangerous as being a drunk driver in terms of safety. Is that, Kevin, would you have a comment on that?
I would agree with that. It certainly can be. It's just, and not just texting, it's just focus elsewhere, whether it's email or social media. It seems like people just can't put their phones down while they're even doing something that's as important as driving. So, you know, there's been some legislative pushes to change that. I'm not sure that's going to happen this session or not, but I remain hopeful that it will. I think it's important that we be hands-free and your focus be on driving.
I know that. I've talked to Jason. Jason, I've got three daughters. You've got daughters. Does anybody actually call anybody on the phone anymore? I'm not. If I'm communicating with my family, I don't ever call anybody. In fact, they say, don't call me, text me.
Yeah, I think that's an age-based deal. And depending how old you are, you may have a tendency to pick that phone up and use it the old-fashioned way. But from a communication standpoint with my own kids, there's a lot of texting. There's a lot of use of social media and messengers and things of that nature. And that's what they respond to. That's what they're on.
All right. Talking about crime, I know that crime in Burlington, crime statistics, I know you keep track. I know, Wayne, you keep track of all of those. Is it a big map that you have? Do you use push pins on that or not? Could you bring up and know what's happening, where crime has happened any time over the past year?
Yes. So currently we actually have an officer that's going through our training program, so he does do the old school push map to show us where things
right.
are happening, different incidences and crimes and such and so forth. But we also have, with our record management system, the ability to go in and see what issues are happening, where they're occurring, and then from there we can start putting our patrol units in those areas and try to be present to prevent that from continuing.
I know community-based patrolling has been something that's been a buzzword for a long time. It's getting out and meeting the people. If you're out there, if they get used to seeing officers and a lot of the same officers in an area, there tends to be a relationship there. Is that true?
Very true. And we have a problem-oriented policing unit that does just that. That's comprised of two officers, and they go to these neighborhoods and they make the relationships. And you may have an incident there, and somebody who saw it doesn't necessarily want to talk to me about it, but one of our officers in our POP unit, they have no problems because they have that relationship with them. So that's very important.
Speaking of relationship, I know you have a K-9 program as well at Burlington. Is that right?
Correct.
How many dogs do you have?
We just have the one.
Oh, you just have one?
Yes, sir.
Do you have a dog at for the Sheriff's Department?
Yeah, we also have a K-9 unit. Yep.
Okay. How valuable is a K-9 unit in terms of crimes? What sort of crimes would a K-9 unit go out after?
Well, I could go on and on about the value of the K-9 unit for just community relations and like what Wayne was saying, just building trust and just partnering with the community. But as far as with crimes, our goal is to be proactive, to identify those that have bad intentions for our community, those that violent crime, guns, drugs, and what we know is a lot of times that drugs and guns go hand in hand. So using that K-9 unit to do interdiction stops, to identify those criminals that have those bad intentions, and using the K-9 for probable cause to seize guns and weapons.
Now, dogs are trained to sniff out, I'm guessing, are they trained to sniff out like gunpowder, trained to sniff out drugs or anything?
It's specific to narcotics, and the reason for that is when the dog alerts, if they would alert on, say, gunpowder may not be illegal, ammunition.
Gotcha.
So we have to have a specific alert, so the dogs typically aren't cross-trained in certain areas like that. It's specific to narcotics.
I'm guessing you don't have a dog unit in the state patrol, or do you?
Yeah, we have probably 10 canines across the state. We do not currently have one out of the Mount Pleasant office. And ours are used in very similar manners. I would say 95% of their work is involving drug interdiction. 5% may be apprehension, tracking, things of that sort. So a lot of ours also is proactive in making stops, using that canine as an extra tool to potentially alert officers for the presence of illegal drugs.
We've been talking for years, at least the last few years, about an opioid crisis nationwide. Do we have an opioid crisis right here in Des Moines County, Kevin?
I don't think we've experienced it to the level that other areas have, but we've noticed an uptick in opioids, and specifically with heroin and fentanyl. We've made some legislative changes. We had a bill that passed the House just yesterday to equalize those penalties with methamphetamine. You know, Iowa's had a large focus on methamphetamine over the years. We've noticed that the fact is that those that have the bad intentions, the dealers of bringing narcotics in, they've recognized that they can sell heroin and heroin laced with fentanyl and not have the same penalties that methamphetamine might have. So we pushed that for that legislative change. It looks very positive, like we're going to get it, so we can kind of put a roadblock for those drugs coming into our community.
I'll go to Jason. Are most of these drugs coming from out of state or out of Mexico or out of some other place, or are they homegrown, or what is it?
Yeah, I think there's certainly a lot of interstate travel that brings those items into our communities from other places. You look at Iowa being centrally located in the United States, and the opportunities for major interstates. Interstate 80, you know, runs from the West Coast to the East Coast. Interstate 35 from southern part of Texas all the way up to the northern part of the United States. And those two roads crisscross in Des Moines, Iowa. So if you're looking for relatively straight and direct routes of travel, you're going to see some outside vehicular traffic and potentially, you know, again, not everybody's transporting large amounts of narcotics when they're using Interstate 80 and 35. I get that. But it does open our communities up, and then from there it's distributed in a variety of ways. And I think many of your listeners are familiar with the work that the Burlington Police Department
right.
has done with the Sheriff's Office, multiple agencies, and some of those mornings when social media sites are going nuts with the amount of police activity in their neighborhood is a reminder that, you know, we are doing our best to make sure we rid the community of those particular items.
Wayne, I know you had a coordinated, very significantly large last year, a very coordinated basically drug enforcement effort that nailed basically, I think it was like 8 or 9 different places that were all pretty much surrounded and hit at the same time. How big of a problem is drugs in Burlington?
It's a big problem, but we also have the officers that are out there combating it. You know, we, excuse me, our task force, that's what they do. You know, they're constantly working on drugs. The partnership that we have with other local agencies, the state, and then the federal agencies is huge for us. You know, when we do those big operations like we did last November, that's not just local officers. That's local, state, and federal officers.
Okay, here's a question for you. We talked about the map. We talked about the push pins. We talked about being able to look and see where things are happening. What if you had to say, if there is a crime or the number one crime issue in Burlington, is there a number one crime issue? Is it burglary? Is it drugs? Is it weapons?
I would say it really would all depend on the time of year. You know, drugs is always going to be there. So for the entire year, yeah, we're going to have drugs everywhere. Okay. As the weather starts getting nicer, like we were talking about, you're going to see those people outside. They're going to be a little bit more apt to break into a car or a residence or something.
Jason Marlowe, obviously traffic control and traffic enforcement, that's obviously part of your job. What if as far as the state patrol and the issues, we talked about crime or talked about that sort of thing, what seems to be, is there something in this, and you said speed of automobiles was one thing. If you had to look at all of the things you've done over the course of last year or whatever, What would be the number one thing that you had to deal with the most?
Yeah, I think if you're talking about traffic enforcement, and this has probably been the same case for years on end, the number one citation issued by the Iowa State Patrol is going to be for speeding year in and year out. And that's a product of the amount of vehicles on the roadway.
Right.
The fact that, as you talked and alluded to earlier, that the cars maybe are giving the driver a false set of comfort, and they're not always paying attention to their speeds. I think most people are familiar with what the speed limits are. And every once in a while, you'll get somebody that will tell me, you know, I didn't know what the speed limit was. Well, I think that's maybe subsided a little bit based on the fact that it's been the same for several years now in many of our rural places that we travel.
You know,
even if you're coming from out of state where the speed limits are different, often I point out that the speed limits of some of our neighboring states are actually set lower. So saying that you just crossed the ridge from Burlington, from Illinois, you know, into Iowa, doesn't give you the right to drive faster if the speed limit is lower on the other side of the river.
Let's go to Kevin right now. Kevin, we're typically in the county, burglary seems to be a perpetual issue, isn't it?
It is. It's something that we try to keep a handle on. And if you're talking about, I guess, the major issues, And our crime data shows that we've really turned some corners throughout Des Moines County, that we've been able to reduce some crime, especially violent crime. And what I'll say is, while narcotics are a big focus, it's not just narcotics cause more issues than just drug dealing and drug use. It causes unemployment. It causes burglaries. A lot of the people that we deal with that are burglary suspects, they're dependent on drugs, and they've pushed them to be in a bad position where they've made some really poor choices. So that remains a really big focus. That and violent crime is really what we're trying to push out of here.
All right, we got a lot more to talk about. We're going to take a break for news. We'll be back.
Steals and slams, blocks and jams, behind the backs and half-court traps, nets and hoops, alleys and loops. College basketball lives here on the Hawkeye Sports Network.
Iowa travels to Michigan Thursday night with pregame at 7, brought to you by Bob Dodds Insurance in Danville, Rhinesmith's Flooring America, the Danville State Savings Bank, and by Standard of Beaverdale on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Nobody protects you from mayhem like Allstate. I'm a speed bump. Did you hear what I said? I'm a speed bump. And if you have cut-rate car insurance, the cost to reattach your muffler could really be a bump in the road. So switch to Allstate, save money, and be better protected from mayhem, like me.
Based on coverage and limits selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. In most states, prices vary based on how you buy. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Straight Talk Wireless now has the new iPhone 13 with Cinematic Mode, which lets you focus on what matters. And with Straight Talk, you can focus on getting the best deal. Our Silver Unlimited plan is just $45 a month for unlimited talk, text, and data. And it runs on the largest, most dependable networks, now with nationwide 5G. With the iPhone 13 on Straight Talk, you can share whatever you want, wherever you want. Straight Talk Wireless. 5G-capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Every year, the Chamber of Commerce solicits nominations for those who have dedicated their time and efforts to make the area a better place. This year, we celebrate the following businesses and people. The Downtown Distinction Award was awarded to the Burlington Beacon. The Project of the Year was awarded to Randolph Dental for their new facility. The Community Impact of the Year was awarded to Burlington Community School District and Southeastern Community College for the Course Early Childhood Center. The Champion of Hidden Talent Award was awarded to Weingard Company. The Young Professional of the Year was awarded to Logan Brinks. The 2020 Emmy was awarded to Tammy McCoy for her dedication and leadership. The 2021 Emmy was awarded to Dennis Wilson for his significant involvement and support in community organizations over the years. Thank you to all who make the Chamber of Commerce, a division of the Greater Burlington Partnership, a great success.
News now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
And now the latest from the KBUR newsroom, I'm Colin Letty. The Des Moines County Sheriff's Office has announced the arrest of a Burlington woman for sexual abuse of a minor. According to a news release on Monday, 18-year-old Destiny Farmer of Burlington was arrested for lascivious conduct with a minor and sexual abuse in the third degree. Farmer was transported to the Des Moines County Jail and is being held on $12,000 bond. Iowa Senate Republicans have approved a bill that prohibits transgender females from participating in girls' high school sports and women's college athletics, sending a divisive bill likely to draw legal challenges to the governor. Governor Reynolds last year lobbied lawmakers to pass a similar measure, but it failed to advance. It passed the House last week and the Senate on Wednesday with only Republican votes. Reynolds supports the idea. Iowa will join 10 other Republican-run state legislatures in passing the controversial measure if she signs it. Former Illinois House Speaker Mike Madigan, for decades one of the nation's most powerful state legislators, has been charged with a nearly $3 million racketeering and bribery scheme. An indictment unsealed Wednesday accuses the 79-year-old Chicago Democrat of leading a criminal enterprise whose purpose was to enhance the political power and financial well-being of Madigan and his allies. Madigan becomes the most prominent politician swept up in a series of federal raids and indictments targeting Illinois Democrats. North Dakota's biggest oil driller says it will commit $250 million to help fund a proposed pipeline that would gather carbon dioxide produced by ethanol plants across the Midwest and pump it underground for permanent storage. Billionaire oil tycoon Harold Hamm's Continental Resources said Wednesday it's making the investment into Summit Carbon Solutions' $4.5 billion pipeline. There are 31 ethanol facilities across Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, and the Dakotas where emissions would be captured and piped to North Dakota to be buried. Continental officials say they have no plans to use the gas for enhanced oil recovery. From the KBUR Newsroom, I'm Colin Letty.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. The Russian military has captured one Ukrainian port city, Kherson, and there's heavy fighting in another, Mariupol.
Russia's foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, says the Ukrainians know our negotiating position. He says Russia is waiting for Ukraine's response, but he also warned that Russia would continue its attacks. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky says his military's defense lines in a number of cities are holding.
Fox's Simon Owen. The House committee investigating the Capitol riot says there's evidence of a criminal conspiracy to overturn election results.
They make that claim in filings with a federal court in California, responding to a lawsuit filed against the committee by former Trump advisor John Eastman. The filing isn't a charging document. Only the Justice Department can do that, and that means the former president isn't officially accused of criminal activity.
Fox's Evan Brown. America's listening to Fox News.
Weather now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Partly sunny sky this afternoon, but before that, we'll see mostly cloudy skies and a slight chance of some rain or snow. We've seen a few flurries, a high today, 42 degrees this afternoon. Partly cloudy tonight, low down to 29. Partly sunny Friday, 52. Mostly cloudy Friday night, low to 46. Partly sunny Saturday, a 50% chance of rain and a high to 70. And look for a mostly sunny Sunday with a high of 47. We got cloudy skies, a few flurries, 32 degrees at KBUR.
I'm Jessica Ettinger, CNBC. Wall Street being a little timid this morning after yesterday's relief rally for stocks, pointing to modest morning gains. The Fed hinted yesterday interest rates may not go up as much next month as feared. Sabre, the company that provides airline ticket distribution and reservation services, has ended service with Russia's airline Aeroflot, crippling its ability to sell seats. This as Russia continues its assault on Ukraine. Best Buy shares popping today on decent quarterly results, and investors bet that pandemic gains will outweigh staffing and supply chain issues. Oil at its highest since 2008 this morning. WTI West Texas Intermediate touching $116 a barrel. The all-time high is $145. Gas prices are heading up. AAA says the national average for a gallon of regular now $3.72, up 7 cents from yesterday. Jessica Ettinger, CNBC.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language like French, Spanish, or Russian, but thought it would be too difficult and time-consuming? Then go to Babbel.com and try it for free. Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you will actually use. In 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel uses a modern conversation-based technique that makes language engaging, fun, and memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then, sentences gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations about real-life topics. Babbel is created by language experts who use the space repetition method to help you learn quickly and remember what you learned. With Babbel, you can speak a new language. Babbel, language for life. Celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
We stand for peace.
Farm Bureau works every day to create a vibrant future for agriculture, farm families, and our communities, benefiting Iowans from all walks of life, like Farm Bureau member Ryan Horgan.
I'm in the business development side for Milkhouse. We are a soy-based candle manufacturing business. Farm Bureau is focused on not only what they can do for the agricultural sector, but how can they add value to that agricultural sector through business, and especially through business in Iowa. It's just a great organization and a great benefit to our business going forward. Personally, I would encourage any business to to get in contact, whether it's local or the state Farm Bureau, because there's so many things there that can be an advantage to your business.
We're the Iowa Farm Bureau, a century strong and growing. To become a member, call your local county Farm Bureau today.
When there's a change in the weather,
it's horrible out here,
and you need to know.
I've never seen it like that.
Get fast, accurate weather information.
Your storm warning will remain
on air and online.
I always know it can be there.
News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR and online at KBUR.com.
Welcome back on the talk show, Peace Officer Talk Show today. And we've got the Wayne Thompson is the day shift lieutenant with the Burlington Police Department. Jason Marlowe is the longtime public relations and public, I guess what? I know you've had a few different titles over the years. Do you have, can you tell me what your official, you're a spokesperson for the State Patrol, your public relations?
Yeah, public relations officer is what our department has gone
to. Okay, I thought, which may, and you make a lot of appearances when you can, but you're also an on-duty officer at the same time. How is the staffing? How is the staffing of the State Patrol going right now?
Well, we could use some help. We've got openings, and if you're interested in that, we'll send you to dpscareers.com. We had a certified academy where we were able to hire some people with prior law enforcement certification, and I know that's a tough pill to swallow as I look at my colleagues here right now. And we've gone back to, you know, hiring the more traditional way, I guess. But we have maybe 100-plus openings across the state, and anticipating in the next 6 to 7 years, close to 50% of our current workforce retiring. So we're going to need to fill those voids.
Retiring, yes. Even I may be retiring someday. Yes, but again, so how's it? I know that that's been a real problem. Over the years, I'm going to guess that you've got a lot of officers that are either near or getting ready to retire. Is that right, Wayne?
That is correct. We actually, Lieutenant Allen just retired. I think last Monday was his last official day. We have an officer that's coming up for retirement in June, and then we have another one coming up in November. So like everybody else, we're also seeing the manpower issues. And like the State Patrol, we are also taking applications. And so if somebody was interested in putting an app with us, then go to policeapp.com.
I'm going to guess, Kevin Glendening, you're also taking applications. Is that right?
We actually are not. We've had some success here lately. We had a testing last year. We've hired three spots in the last year, which is a lot for us. We're a 23 officer department, so that's a lot of officers in 1 year. But we did just lose a deputy, and we've extended another conditional offer to a fourth person. So we've had some success with our testing. We've definitely seen lower numbers show up for our testing, but still really high quality people. So while we don't see the numbers show up, I think it does weed out those that maybe aren't as committed to the profession, and we still get those that are really making quality officers for us.
Well, I think that one of the things, how different, I know that we had Mark Denny, he's the chief of the Burlington Police Department, and we talked with him back last year when he was with us, and he talked about the fact that, coming here is a completely different environment. And we were talking about the situation that was going on in Minneapolis, situation was going on in Portland, situation going on in Seattle. He said it's a breath of fresh air. He said, we have, yes. Do we have issues? Yes. But he said it's where's officers that would be coming here from these places, because they if you're going to be a law enforcement officer, you want to have A, support of the people, but B, support of the whole team. And he said there's a lot of disarray within the established law enforcement agencies in some of these major cities. How big of a have you been able to take advantage of any of that as you can see it, Wayne, or or Jason or Kevin. It sounds like you are taking advantage of that.
Well, what I'll say is the support is community-wide. That comes from support within the department, support from other community leaders, but also the community itself. Officers are looking at that, and they're doing research on their own. They want to be in a position where they're proud to do what they're doing. They don't want to be a hated part of the community. So the more support we have from our community, which is really great now right now, and that goes back to what we were talking about with community policing and building that trusted relationship. So we've had a lot of positive hires because of that, and that's not just those regions, but there's regions in Iowa that haven't been as supportive as what they should be from their community leaders, and they really struggle with hiring and retention and keeping officers that they have.
And we talked about reserve officers. I know there's a lot of the, if I'm right, Wayne, you've had, I don't know where you stand in reserve officers right now, but I know that you've been seeing that reserve officers, those who are in demand and those who have some experience in the background, they tend to become some of your best police officers. Is that right?
That's correct. And currently we have two officers in our reserve program. However, we do have active officers for the police department that started out as reserves. And that's a nice program that we have, so we can tell people that may, you know, they think they want to be in police work and they want to go out and work patrol and everything, but they're not 100% sure. So, you know, we afford them that opportunity to join the reserves, and then they can experience that firsthand. Additionally, one of the things that we offer to the community is our Citizens Academy, where we give them firsthand training in all kinds of different areas of law enforcement, in addition to letting them do ride-alongs and everything. And we get a lot of interest from younger people into that program, and then that interest just continues to build for the department.
Jason, as you, public relations officer, obviously, do you have any program to let people? I mean, you don't have a reserve program, as far as I know. Is that right?
That's correct. We do not. Basically, where we're at for recruiting purposes would be a combination internship / ride along / job shadow, if you want to call it that. Clearly, a law enforcement internship is going to be much different than you would experience maybe at a business or even here at the radio station. So we're somewhat limited in what we can allow, and we use that as a way for very interested, typically juniors and seniors in college with law enforcement / criminal justice, you know, majors, and they're thinking about getting into that position to offer them an opportunity to get some firsthand knowledge
there. Has it been hard to find qualified people in these? Because I know that these, I think we talked about the fact that the law enforcement schools or the law enforcement programs, it's a lot of these schools has kind of it's taken it on the chin, most of it, hasn't it?
Yeah, and I'm going to echo what the sheriff said there, and Kevin's statement couldn't have been truer. We still need qualified applicants and hirees for this position.
Right.
And I talked to a lot of different groups, and I mentioned, listen, if you think things are bad in other places, put non-qualified individuals in law enforcement roles and allow them to make decisions and see how much worse it gets. So I will say that we have openings, but we are not just going to fill those openings with anyone. We are still going to make them go through that process. And if their qualifications are not up to the standards that have been established long before my time on the Iowa State Patrol, they're not going to get hired by our department.
We talked about it, and Kevin is here. You know, the degree of being able to, psychologically handle the stress of being an officer in a very, very difficult time, that's a very important part of being. That's the difference between being a quality officer or having something that could be a tragic officer, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And part of that, we do a psychological testing. We test their mental status to make sure that they're ready to handle those things. But we're asking so much of our officers. They have to see things and deal with things that just the normal person doesn't have to. I've seen statistics where, you know, a normal person deals with just a handful, like three or four critical events throughout their lifetime, whereas officers are dealing with thousands. And that weighs on you. And so part of the process is we do those check-ins. We talk to people. We make sure they have a good foundation at home and at the office where we can discuss those things. And if somebody needs help, then we open up that door and we get them help and we make sure they have somebody to talk to. It's something that we have to be out in front of and deal with to make sure that people aren't overflowed with emotions.
What I'm getting through is the other problem is that we have a mental health issue, and we've had a continuing mental health issue. And I'm going to say without any knowledge, but my best guess is that the last 2 years could not have helped the mental health situation in Iowa at all, has it?
No, it continues to be an issue. What I'll say is there are a number of bills this year to deal with that. I think Iowa appears to be addressing some of those issues. What we made attempts about 4 or 5 years ago to deinstitutionalize mental health, which is a really good thing. We wanted to make it more community-based. But the fact remains that there's certain people that need that level of care. And when we took away the number of beds that we really needed throughout Iowa to care for those individuals were staying on the streets. So we need to fund it better. We need to have professionals in the right places to give those to provide that care. And we need to have places available that we can give them the help that they need. It's for the community and for that individual.
And Wayne and Jason, we've had obviously community-based, when it was first presented, it was a community-based mental health service. And it was going to be part of the hospital, Southeast Iowa Regional Medical Center, or Great River Health. But those, let's face it, is there a hospital in Iowa that hasn't been basically overrun by dealing with COVID, overrun by dealing with all of the other issues that here? There's no room for any beds for mental health issues, are there?
Sadly, no. Or at least from where we stand and look in and see. But that's why we give our officers that training. We have several officers on our department that have had extended training,
okay,
a week, 40-plus hours of training to deal with people who are going through episodes like that. And then we also give that training to the other officers on the department just because we know that that is becoming so much of what we deal with.
What about with the State Patrol? Do you have specific officers that are especially trained for dealing with mental health issues?
We do, and we try to, you know, hopefully have some of them on duty and available, and if not, they're often the first to say, hey, call me and I'll come out and do whatever needs to be done. And that's not only in dealing with the public, but that's also dealing with our employees.
Right.
And the, you know, one of the biggest changes I've seen in my career is kind of when you first started, the veterans of the department would say, after you've seen something, you know, that would be horrific in nature, well, that's just part of it. Get used to it. You're going to see a lot of that stuff
get
in your career.
Get used to it, yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't get used to it.
That mindset has gone away, and we now know that you can't continue to file that stuff away forever and ever, and it's best to have a debriefing or, you know, a critical incident class afterwards where you can bring in people that can talk you through it, you can get some of those concerns out, and listen to the concerns of others and realize, you know what, it's not just me. There are other people that have the same perspective, and I think that's very, very important in law enforcement.
We're going to take a break. We've got peace officers joining us. More to come.
The Burlington Greyhound Boys open 4A state tournament play Wednesday afternoon on KBUR. Join Scott Mason and Brad Honig as Burlington takes on top-ranked Ames. Brought to you by Rheinschmidt Flooring America, Bob Dodds Insurance, the Danville State Savings Bank, Pizza Ranch, Courtesy Door, Ritter's Garden Center, Bickle's Cycling and Fitness, Standard of Beaverdale, and the Pilot Grove Savings Bank. Burlington Ames Boys 4A state quarterfinal basketball Wednesday afternoon at noon on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
$100 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better.
Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE. 855-51-BIBLE.
There's a simple screening test to help determine your risk for a heart attack. And it's just $49 at Southeast Iowa Regional Medical Center. Cardiac calcium scoring combines specialized software and images from a CT scan to measure calcium buildup in your coronary arteries. Test results give you the opportunity to seek treatment early. Coronary artery disease claims more lives than lung, breast, colon, and prostate cancers combined. Ask your healthcare provider about a cardiac calcium scoring test at Southeast Iowa Regional Medical Center.
The winter weather often leads to all of us spending more time in our homes. Have you found some areas of your home during your winter hibernation that you are less than happy with? The folks at Standard of Beaverdale felt that way too, so they have rearranged their entire store. Come check out their new look. And let the experts at Standard help you with your home's new look. From a full-scale kitchen or bath remodel to new flooring, new appliances in the kitchen or laundry room, or just a simple update to cabinet hardware, you can do it all with one stop to Standard of Beaverdale. Now is also the time to start planning projects for outside your home. Did the winter winds wreak havoc on your shingles? Maybe a new roof is in order. Maybe this is the year to put your tax refund money towards updating your windows or finally siding your house. Get your building materials ordered early so they're here when the weather turns warm and you're ready to roll. Make your home somewhere you love to be by shopping Standard of Beaverdale in West Burlington, Iowa, open 6 days a week.
And welcome back on the Peace Officer Show. Last few minutes, we've got Wayne Thompson. He's the day shift lieutenant with the Burlington Police Department. He's been around a police officer since 1998, so he's, what, 24 years in on it? Jason Marlowe, 26 years. I don't need to count him, but I'm guessing the fact is Kevin Glendening, let's see, you've been over a year the sheriff of Des Moines County, and I guess as you look back over the year and then some, dealing with the pandemic obviously had an effect early, didn't it?
Oh, sure. It just changed the way we did things, meetings and going to Zoom and doing everything electronically, but we made some adjustments early on. And how we dealt with things, how we ran our jail, those kind of issues. But it does feel like we're at the end of this thing, and it feels much more normal.
Normal is a good thing. I know that we talked about the fact speeding was at least a year and a half ago or so. It was going crazy. We had more 100-mile-per-hour speed limit violators, I think you said, than you've ever had.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. And just earlier this week, a couple troopers that I work with in our district stopped one car for 99, and 20 minutes later there was another stop for 97 miles per hour. So they wouldn't have risen to the level of 100, but they're pretty darn close, according to my math. So we still continue to see that. I guess I don't know the answer and the reasons why. Early on, there was less traffic on the roads. I think it made more sense.
Yeah.
We've gone back to relatively normal, if not better than normal, traffic counts. So we've got to get people to slow down and understand at those type speeds, they're not only putting themselves at risk, but everybody else on the roadways as well.
And where you are, I think the four lane is a little bit deceptive sometimes because you tend to think, you know, if the road is smooth and there's not a lot of traffic on it, you tend to think, hey, the Katie bar the door. But I guess what when you see a line, I'm thinking about a lot of all the time. We drove to Chicago a lot last year for some reason, but anyway, I noticed that speeding was continual, and if you didn't speed, you were always on the far right lane or under basically. Everybody's passing you, and it's starting to back up traffic. When you're looking at, let's you got a line of cars and they're all speeding. How do you decide which one are you going to Are you going to try and make a stop on it?
Yeah, again, I think you're looking at the discretion of the officer making decisions based on a variety of conditions at the time. And if we were talking about a few miles an hour over the speed limit, I could see why people would be concerned. But we're talking 25 yeah. miles an hour of the speed limit. In some cases, cars driving 130, yeah. 140 miles per hour. That's twice, if not three times, near the posted speed limit. So if you're going that fast, the flow of traffic argument is not going to be one that most people are going to understand.
In other words, the one who's passing everybody is the one that basically is the one that you got to put the clamps on, so to speak. It is Peace Officer Day today. I know we talked about distracted driving. That's an issue that's going to continue on. But I know that there's laws that are coming out. In fact, if I'm right, I don't know. They haven't, but there's a law, and we talked about a couple of laws. One of them is doing away with any handheld phone device. Is that right, Jason?
Yeah, the session has had some proposals early on. I have not kept up to speed to see where that's at and if that's going to fly this year. As time gets a little closer to the end of the session, we'll have a better understanding of what actually is going to play out.
I think we also talked about the fact it's illegal in Illinois to drive in the left lane unless you are passing. Is that Iowa law too or not?
That is not, and I don't know if that's something that is even on the radar to speak for changes in traffic law in Iowa anytime soon.
Okay. And again, we're out of time today, but I want to thank Wayne Thompson. Wayne, thank you. Great job today. Great to have you with us and to be a part of our show today. And obviously, you've got a lot of experience in law enforcement. Jason Marlowe, always a pleasure. Well, I'll see you on my bike. Probably not on Ragbri, but I'm going to see you on the bike anyway. And Kevin Glendenning, thank you again being with us from the Des Moines County Sheriff's Office. Again, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much.
News Radio 93 and 1490 KBUR, Burlington.
Can talking stop the warring? I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
I don't want this. I want peace. I want this peace to be in my country.
Ukraine's president moments ago, as he holds a news conference, as Russians keep attacking Volodymyr Zelensky's country, taking control of Kherson, bombarding other cities in Mariupol.
They hit directly buildings, blood banks, schools, water towers, electric facilities. They have nothing. People in the basement with no food, no electricity, nothing.
Republican Congresswoman Victoria Spartz was born in Ukraine, and it's her grandmother's 95th birthday.
We couldn't reach her, but my mom just called me, told me that we reached her neighbor, and the building next to her was hit, so it blew out all of her windows in her apartment, so they moved into the basement.
Now, as for those negotiations, it's round two. Fox's Simon Owens following him live.
And David, even as Ukraine and Russia meet for talks in Belarus, Ukrainian authorities are describing more devastation. Emergency officials say at least 22 civilians have been killed in what they claim was Russian shelling of a residential area in the city of Chernihiv, a couple of hours north of the capital, Kyiv. Ahead of today's talks, Russia said it had made its demands clear to Ukraine and was waiting for a response. Ukraine says it will not accept ultimatums. Dave.
And Simon, we just got word that in another city of Ukraine, forces are battling Russian troops, and that city has Europe's largest nuclear plant. More than a million Ukrainians have fled and left the country. In other news, a pro-life victory at the Supreme Court today. The justices ruling Kentucky's Republican Attorney General can continue to defend a law restricting abortions that a lower court struck down even after the state's Democratic governor dropped Kentucky's appeal. America's listening to Fox News.